On the Shore, the podcast of the Lochs Free Church. Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the On The Shore podcast, the official podcast of the Lochs Free Church. I'm Kevin and thank you very much for joining us. On the show today we're going to have a talk with Fiona MacLeod, who is going to be here talking about campaigners and the Sunday School. We'll also have a section by our minister, the Reverend Colm Ian MacLeod. Various readings on the theme of thankfulness. We're also going to continue our series on the persecuted church, and we're going to look at the North African country of Eritrea, as well as a couple of psalms coming up, and also a couple of modern Christian tracts as well. So all that coming up in over the next hour-ish. So I'm not going to promise a time scale because I rarely ever keep to it. We'll start off the show with the devotional Word for You, taken from the UCB radio channel.
Word for You. Word for You is adapted from the UCB Word for Today, written by Bob and Debbie Gass.
In everything, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18.
Being thankful.
Today, try making a habit of saying thank you, out loud if you can, for as many things as you can manage. People who fill their lives with gratefulness for the ordinary things of life get let in on serious joy. Making time and space in your day to say thank you to God will change you. It will make you slow down and take time to notice the way the world really is. Why, in everything, give thanks? The best things in life are what God gives us the most of, the quiet things that make up the fullness of ordinary life. When was the last time you thanked God for providing oxygen so we can breathe? Or for those little moments of silence where we unexpectedly connect with Him? God gives us lives made up mostly of relationships, sleeping, eating, and getting on with work. We take them for granted and forget that they're supposed to be rewarding in themselves. It's worth being reminded that even the most basic things in your life are from God. And if they're from God, they must be good. Thankfulness does that. Wondering how to get a bit of life in your faith? Maybe simply try being thankful. Remember, as Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." When you take joy in all of the little things He's given you, your life lights up and your faith gets stronger.
Have you ever felt like you're going day to day, just getting by? Almost like your existence is routine. You're just going through the motions of life, but feeling like you're not truly living. Now, unfortunately, there's no video that will automatically clear up your to-do list or magically grant you more free time. But maybe the problem isn't the amount on your plate. Maybe it's how you view and do what's on your plate. Maybe your perspective is poisoning and preventing you from living the life that you've been given to the fullest. Too often we drag through life with our head down, missing the miracles, blessings, and opportunities around us. Don't let a new day become so common. God has given us life allowed us to live another day that is full of unlimited possibilities. He has blessed us beyond anything we deserve, showered us in grace, and has gifted each one of us to carry out great works. Our Father didn't do all of these amazing things for us just so we can go through the motions. No, there is so much more to life, so much more in Christ than just getting by. How incredibly selfish of us to overlook and take for granted His blessings, holding back what He has equipped us with just for ourselves. We complain about the very things that others may dream and long to have. An attitude of gratitude is powerful. Thankfulness and praise raises your perspective above your circumstances and sets your focus on the bigger picture. Gratefulness breeds peace, hope, and joy. Circumstantial happiness fluctuates, but a focus fixed on our unchanging Father shields you from any storm and enables you to escape the monotony of routine existence. Give thanks in all circumstances, and watch as your attitude, outlook, and output transform. Let's rejoice and radiate praise. Thankfulness is a simple way to remove yourself from the ordinary and remind yourself of our extraordinary God. The Lord doesn't ask us to erase everything from our to-do list. He just wants to be a part of all things. Be constant in prayer and constant in praise. Don't just get by today. Honor our God by treating whatever you do as worship and praise your way through the valleys.
Following the Word for You devotional, that talk you just listened to was titled Thankfulness Transforms, and the speaker was Will Edison. Right, we're going to go for a psalm now, and we're going to go for Psalm 103.
Oh, yeah.
now going to focus our attention on the persecuted church. And the country we're going to focus on today is Eritrea. Now, Eritrea is in North Africa, and it's on the world watch list. Its ranking is 10, so basically it's the 10th most dangerous country in the world to be a Christian. Now, as I said already, it's in the north. It's actually the northeast of Africa, and it's a fairly new country. It gained independence from Ethiopia in 1993, following 30 years of civil war. It had previously been an Italian colony. The war was fought by the Eritrea People's Liberation Army, a group with Marxist views, and today they are the only political presence in the country's one-party government. President Isaias Afewerki has been in power since the country's inception back in 1993. It is one of the poorest countries in the world, with the average wage per month of £25. There are few privately owned companies, rather the government run pretty much everything from shops, schools, libraries, hospitals. However, in return for this, the government enlists everybody in national service. It is a national service that causes many young Eritreans to flee the country. The service is indefinite in length and includes both male and female. The state control the only TV channel. They run the news teams as well as the news on TV. They run the only paper in the country. So it is no coincidence that in this country is often referred to as the North Korea of Africa. Many try and flee the country, and the border guards are only too willing to take a bribe. However, crossing the border into Sudan will cost the fleeing person slightly under £6,000, or crossing into Ethiopia will cost a little over £2,500. This is according to the source from the France 24 documentary. This is a well worthwhile documentary I came across. There are two documentaries I watched on Eritrea, one from France 24 and one from the BBC, and if you want to watch both of these, there is a link available in the show notes on the church website. That's lochsfreechurch.co.uk. So this results in many making the dangerous trip out of the country across the Mediterranean on crammed boats, the sight of which have become commonplace on our own news channels. It is not law that rules Eritreans but fear. That's a stark conclusion of a year-long UN report into human rights abuses in Eritrea. The report, which was presented to the UN Human Rights Council on the 23rd of June 2015, claims that the Eritrean authorities may have committed crimes against humanity. Neighbours and family members are often persuaded to inform on each other. Sexual slavery and enforced labour are commonplace, and systematic, widespread and gross human rights violations have been and are being committed in Eritrea under the authority of the government. That's a direct quote from the report. Eritrea has a population of 5.5 million. Around 2.7 million are Christians, but in spite of this, it is very much a Muslim-first country. Christians are considered agents of the West and a threat to the state. Many would rather risk the deadly emigration routes via Sudan or Libya than stay in Eritrea. The situation and the appalling economic conditions is why Eritreans are fleeing the country in their thousands. For the Christians among them, this puts a terrible risk from other violent groups. The UN report describes Eritrea as a place where for men, women and even children, detention is an ordinary fact of life. Forced labour and being jailed without trial are commonplace, with recycled shipping containers being used as jail cells for long periods, with each container often holding many prisoners. Many who have been released and subsequently left the country describe the ordeal as total darkness. At night, cold was extreme, and during the day, the air stifling and the walls of the container being so hot that to touch them would cause your skin to burn and blister. Under President Afewerki's authoritarian regime, Christians are severely persecuted. Believers are imprisoned, tortured, and forced to sign papers recanting their beliefs. Churches are closed, and many have to meet in secret to avoid the brutality of the authorities. Yet despite increasing persecution and pressure, Christians are holding on to their faith in God. Praise the Lord that in the midst of suffering, the church is continuing to grow. Let us pray that Christians will stand strong and continue to bear witness despite the difficulties and dangers. Let us thank God that the pastors are still caring for the flock despite their perilous situation. Pray for wisdom and abundant grace. Pray that the Lord will touch the heart of the president and all those in government in Eritrea, for protection for Christians who have fled Eritrea and are often at risk of trafficking and attack. The following is audio describing one Christian, Helen Berain's ordeal at the hands of the Eritrean government.
It was so cold during the night, he would suffer hypothermia. So hot during the day that his skin would burn to the edge of the container. The bugs that bite you felt like fire all over your body, but like driving a nail into wood. Every hit, every beating, every blow to my body drew me closer to God. These are some of the notes I took when I had a chance to spend a few days with a lady called Helen Bahani. What you don't understand, or what you don't get when you first meet Helen, is her past. You see, Helen spent 2.5 years locked inside a metal shipping container for refusing to recant her faith. And not only that, she taught me one of the most profound spiritual lessons of my life. She taught me about thankfulness. If you were to wake up tomorrow with only the things you thank God for today, what would you have? In Helen's case, every day for 2.5 years, she woke up on the floor of a jagged metal shipping container inside a prison where she was beaten and tortured regularly. But one of the most incredible stories for me is her response to a beating that very nearly took her life. You see, Helen had been writing notes of encouragement and sending them to fellow prisoners, putting scriptures on them that she could memorize. And the guards came to her and they said, "Helen, where is your Bible?" And she said, "I don't have one." And they said, "Is it in your head?" She said, "Yeah, it's in my head." And they said, "Well, we're going to have to beat it out of you." They proceeded to grab Helen and they dragged her to a courtyard, placed her in the middle, and started to beat her with wooden batons. What she does next has single-handedly changed my Christian walk forever. You see, in the middle of this beating, Helen stops and looks at the guy hitting her and says to him, "I do not hate you, for you were just carrying out an order. But you need to know that I'm carrying out an order too. And that's not to renounce Jesus. So carry on." Carry on? I mean, when they were finished beating her, they simply threw her body back into the metal shipping container, and as she lay on the floor in the container, she began to sing the following: "Thank you for the cold nights. Thank you for the hot days. Thank you for the hunger, for the sickness. Thank you for the bugs that bite my body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you." Thankfulness. Have you ever stopped for a minute to think about what role it plays in your life? I mean, what role thankfulness plays in your everyday? If you're like me, it's probably not much. You see, I ask God for a lot, but in comparison, I thank Him for very little. The more I think about people like Helen Bahani and the persecuted church, the more it begins to dawn on me that it's actually reversed. You see, they thank God for almost everything, and in comparison, they ask Him for very little. And this is because They're not following an institution called Christianity. They're following a living God. We're following a living God who walked the earth and who today walks the earth through his Spirit. Our gratitude, our thankfulness, and the level by which we measure it should not be based off a set of rules or expectations and buzzwords, I guess, created by this Christian pop culture. It should be defined by Jesus Christ, who walked with broken people, loved the unlovable, stood in the face of religion, led with a character and set of principles that he would not compromise for anyone or any deal. Didn't seem to care about things like brand, fashion label, return on investment, number of friends on Facebook or followers on Instagram. And didn't mind looking awkward if saying no meant the right outcome was achieved. And on top of all that, loved a dying and broken world with a passion that could not be filled, stopped, watered down or contained. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who ultimately laid down his life so that a sinful, broken and dislocated group of people could have eternal life with him. And for that, I'm forever thankful. If you were to wake up tomorrow with only the things you thank God for today, what would you have?
And a further update to that talk, Helen Berrain and her daughter were granted asylum in Denmark. This was about 12 months after her release. She continues to this day to share her story, not of pain and hardship, but thankfulness with people all over the world. What an amazing witness that is. Now we're going to listen to another psalm, and this time it's Psalm 111.
Assembly song.
And we're now here having a yarn with Fiona, and it's going to obviously be about two things. First of all, we're going to talk about the Sunday School, and then we'll go on to update our listeners with what we've been doing at Campaigners recently. So welcome to the podcast, Fiona.
Thank you.
Since we last spoke, the Sunday School has moved into the church. That's been the big change, and also the timing. So how do you feel it's gone so far?
Well, I feel it's gone very well, which is a credit to all the leaders that do take part and dedicate their time to the children, how they've adapted to the changes. It seems to work well, the children. We haven't lost any children coming at the new time. They seem to enjoy it. I feel myself, and I'm speaking to some of the other leaders, that you know they seem quite calm in the church, and it seems to kind of flow. We have plenty room for us all to go into our different groups, so there's plenty space. We're not kind of hearing what anybody else is going on or affecting anyone else, so the children seem to be able to concentrate on their lesson. The new time seems to suit parents very well just now. We're coming to the end of our 12-week trial in the next 2-3 weeks, so I will be going round all parents and the leaders, obviously, and getting their feedback, and we will hopefully plan a meeting with the session again with the minister and decide how we move forward. Is it going to remain like this, or do we have to change things? So if anyone's out there that has any feedback, or they're hearing anybody saying anything, if they could feed it back to us, to any of the Sunday School leaders, it would be more than appreciated.
Oh yes, indeed. Certainly from the position of a teacher myself, I didn't teach a lot in the old hall, but the children do seem actually a lot calmer, a lot more attentive since we moved into the church. So that's certainly been a good feature. They all seem to enjoy it themselves. The feedback from the children has been quite good.
Yes, that's right. It's, you know, first of all, you kind of think, well, maybe is it the novelty of moving into the church, you know, but we've been there now over the 12 teaching weeks very near, and they seem to still been enjoying it. So hopefully that will carry on, but we are always open to suggestions and what would be best for the children and for parents.
Oh yes, yes indeed. And certainly as you said as well, the accommodation is great because there's plenty of space and we're not on top of each other, there's no interfering with different classes from sound carried through. Because I think that was the first thing I noticed when the first Sunday School I took. It was the children going out were more or less standing on top of the Bible class when they were going to the toilet, because they were out in the hallway.
That's so correct.
Certainly,
yes.
It does benefit us.
That's right. And what is lovely as well, that's you talking about 20 children, average of between 15 and 20 children each week coming along. So it is good to have the area. And we need to say a big thank you to Charlie as well for the session room, not primarily for the Sunday School, but having this new fire and set up kind of thing is a lot warmer. If anyone feels that the class in there is a better place to have, so we've been very well looked after.
Yes, we have. Yes, and a big thank you to the session as well for allowing us this trial period.
That's right. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so, and we've been continuing on with the Free Church's own curriculum.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, we've been following on that. We haven't done too many changes because we're adapting to this trial just now, but yes, but it's all left to each leader following that curriculum, what they would like to do. Some might sometime take in a video to show the children of something else, so there's flexibility there for the leaders to do. We're hoping more, maybe in the future we can get some more memory verses, maybe hoping with the younger ones to get the younger version of the, you know, the catechism, to see if we could bring that a wee bit forward to give them. But the children are very enthusiastic, so that makes our life a lot easier.
In fact, I had forgotten about the catechism, in fact, because we are actually currently looking at, did we get it? 4 translations we've got.
That's right, yeah.
Well, 3, to be honest, because one was just a modern cover on the old catechism.
Yes.
So 3 new translations, just because, well, I'm sure you'll remember fondly growing up and learning the catechism, and you'd learn it off by heart. Would you have a clue what you were saying?
That's right, the understanding wasn't there.
No, it wasn't.
Corinne McKenzie's done for the very, very young ones, not the 4 we looked at, but the very young ones, she's done a great wee book with the catechism for really your P1s and your P2s kind of age group, which is a great resource to have. Hopefully through time we'll keep improving things and moving forward.
Yes, indeed. And of course that's the beauty of the podcast, because it can always just be a small update, but we can keep people up to date as to what we're doing, so parents don't feel like they're out of the loop.
Yes, yeah. Yes. One thing I would like to maybe say is for the future to keep in mind that we would love any not feedback but information that we're hoping to take the children out as usual in June for the Sunday school outing, and we would really like it to be a congregational outing where everybody comes together, the creche, the Sunday school and the congregation, adherents, members, as many as possible, and we just spend the day together.
Yes.
So keep that in mind for round about the end of May, beginning of June time.
Oh yes, indeed. Right. Is there anything else you'd like to add for Sunday school?
I don't think so. Well, I think
we've
that's
got
everything.
The majority.
I think we've covered quite a wee bit there.
So anybody listening, we'd better actually cover all bases here. Anybody who's maybe listening to this, who stumbled upon this but live in the local vicinity, is it too late to join the Sunday school? Come along if they're thinking my child might enjoy it, but should they wait till August?
No, not at all. Absolutely. If there's any children out there that don't come along, and we run the Sunday school from 12:30 after the church service till 1:30 every Sunday of school term. And if they know myself, Fiona or Kevin or any other leaders, to get in touch with them. And if they're struggling with lifts or anything, you know, we will always help people out if the children and the parents have a desire to send their children to Sunday school.
Yes, indeed. So please do come along. If the children are welcome to take their Bibles, but they don't have to. It's not a requisition.
That's correct. No,
because we do have some spare Bibles
yes,
anyway.
We'll cover that for them. If don't to feel that's a setback for them, just please come as they are.
Right then. So I think that's everything on Sunday school. So shall we now move on to campaigners? So
yeah.
This is a Monday night one, so a bit more informal, let's say.
That's right. Their Monday night youth club from 6:30 till 7:45. Yeah, that's the one that we do school term as well.
And that doesn't take place in the church, that's in the community centre.
That's correct, yes. We have about 30 kids. We have between 25, 30 kids. We've got 30 kids on the book, so that's quite a good number.
Mm-hmm. And we also would like to take this opportunity to a big thank you to Laura Hope and Catherine McKenzie. Yes, so a big thank you to the pair of them who have recently started helping out. They've been involved in the activities and the games, so they're giving off their time and taking their own time to help out and develop the lives of these young children. It's really great to see when youngsters get
absolutely
involved.
And I was speaking to Laura, and they're hoping that they're going to start their Duke of Edinburgh Awards, and in that there's voluntary work. So I was saying to them, you know, that kind of work goes well for helping them with the Duke of Edinburgh. And if there's any other older children out there that would like to volunteer with us mm-hmm. and come along and help with the children, they're more than welcome to come along and do some of the activities with the children.
Yes,
and it's
indeed.
Good for them.
And I'd also like to put a call out. If you're still in school and you're thinking, oh, no, it's not for me, I'm a bit too old for it. Can I point out the senior class goes all the way up to S6, so you're more than welcome. Sometimes the more senior ones who have come along aren't so keen to take part in the physical activities, but that's okay. Come along. There's still something there for you. You don't have to be a volunteer. You might just want to be there to learn and develop your skills. That's fine too.
That's right, yes. If all children are welcome, so yeah.
Yeah, so that's P1 to S6.
That's right, just to cover.
Just to emphasise, S6, yes. Not P7.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yes. So as far as what we've done, we had a successful Christmas event since we last spoke. The minister, Colmian MacLeod, was there. He spoke to the children and also the adults. Yes,
we had a lovely night. We had Pursuit Hebrides come in first of all, and it's a big thank you to them with their bouncy castles. And the children had a lot of fun with that first of all, and then the parents came for their cup of tea at the end. And we did a wee readings and singing, mm-hmm, and
yes.
Calmian did the minister did the address, and we also had Elith as well doing her flute, which was beautiful as well.
It was absolutely beautiful.
So we've got a lot of talented children in our groups.
Yes, indeed.
So and we're hoping now after the success of Christmas to do something at Easter. due with Easter holidays and that, we were hoping maybe Easter Monday, the 17th of April, to invite parents and anyone in the congregation or in the community that would like to come along, and the kids again hopefully will do some singing and reading, and all being well, if the minister's available to do a wee talk. So put that date in your diaries, the 17th of Monday, the 17th of April.
And this will be the, sadly, this next term will be the last one of the year.
That's right.
So, yeah, so, and when I say year, I'm talking about school year, not calendar year.
That's right. It just seems, you know, I know just talking in the previous podcast about Sunday school, and I'm asking for feedback for doing something with the kids in June. But it's, you know, we're heading into March, and then looking at our Easter, it's just, time is going past on us very quickly.
Yes, indeed. So, but in saying that, to speak, looking further ahead again, the last year we had a very successful barbecue. And what was nice, I think what made it was not just the weather, but the amount of people that came who were out with from campaigners. A lot of parents came, and we also had a few visitors as well.
Yes, it was just lovely to see that so many had made the effort. I know parents and families, their time are busy, but it was so lovely and so encouraging for us. I don't know if people realise how encouraging to leaders and that, but when they do see families and parents and friends and associates coming along to these things, it does encourage.
Oh yes, yes.
Well.
There's nothing more discouraging than people not turning up at, especially a youth group or anything.
That's right, yes.
On. So yes, please, even if you feel you can only come just even for a portion of the time, or you just want to show face, you'd be most welcome.
Absolutely.
It's encouragement for us ourselves as well as the children,
that's
as well
right.
as
yes.
to come along.
Yes.
Yes, so speaking, I don't know if you would like to speak about what you did over Christmas, the lead up to Christmas and since, but I was very pleased with what my children did on the lead up to Christmas. We had the Christmas decorations that were made, and hopefully they stayed together. We had three chests. Each child brought home three chests, and there was the sand round it. It's meant to represent the desert. The three gifts were each in one of the chests. So opened them up, and there was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And there was also a wee reading inside them describing the significance of each thing. So that's what my group did.
Yeah, the younger groups, we did cards up, but we had cut out a template for them, and the kids decorated it. And we had got lovely 3D kind of stickers with God, love, peace, faith, all these kind of words. And they decorated their cards with that. And so it was a great time. And we also, a few of us went over to the High Free, had a carol service on. So the one Monday after the end of campaigners, we went over. A few of us, not many, but a few of us went over, and we had a great night.
Oh, it was fantastic. It
was
really,
a really
was good
night.
Yes.
So hopefully we'll maybe try and organise that, even if it's not falling on a Monday, try and organise that we can take children over, because they would have
I would like to make that a yearly focal point.
Yes.
Because that was really good, and they all did enjoy it.
Yes, and it wasn't long. It wasn't a late night.
No, it wasn't, in fact.
No, we were quite good for younger children that would like to come. So, that would be good if we do that on maybe a yearly event.
Yes, indeed. And of course, if there's anything that you can think of, and by you, I'm talking to the listener here, if there's anything that you can think of that you think the children would enjoy and would be something, then please email into the show and tell us, or speak to one of us, because we're always up for new ideas.
That's right, yes, yeah. Because sometimes we can get so blinkered or focused on what we're doing that we don't maybe come up with maybe innovative ideas or something out there. So if there's anything that they feel the children...
Two heads are better than one there.
That's right.
A new fresh perspective is always good.
Yes. Absolutely, yes.
Yes, so currently, although if anybody's a Sunday school teacher or they think they want to do this with a craft, I would say it's difficult. The current one that we're doing is making up model Arks of the Covenant.
Wow, that's...
I was worried this wouldn't take up 1 week. It's now on the fourth week and they're still not finished. It's a lot more work than I thought.
Yeah,
so,
I know, and, you know, me personally, I would like to thank the leaders and yourself as well in campaigners for the effort you do put into it. I have the younger group, so maybe it's a wee bit easier with me. I do a lot of colouring, but the crafts, I must admit, Kevin, that you do spend with it. The children are very, very good. So, and they enjoy that older group.
Yes, well, that's the key thing.
More
yes,
than
enjoy,
just
yes.
doing something, you know, that they're coming up with something they've created. So, no, it's been good. So, for us all to be encouraged.
I covered the Burning Bush as well. Well, but that was just a kind of card model put together. What's it called? Yes. A collage. And if you want to see pictures, actually, I think quite a few of these are actually on the website.
Yeah.
If you go to the church's website, that's locksfreechurch.co.uk, and then go to community and campaigners, and there's quite a few pictures on there with the pupils' work on it.
That's really, I think we've got that up actually in our kitchen just now, that collage. So the kids have really enjoyed it. The kids do, and they're at an age that they just soak in information and they enjoy learning something new each week.
Well, thank you very much for your time, and I'm going to drag you back on the next podcast.
That's fine, Kevin. You'll track me down somehow.
Yes, well, it's not too difficult, given we're involved in a lot of the same things.
That's right, yes.
But thank you once again for coming in.
No problem. Thank you.
If we're honest with each other, we don't really think about being thankful each and every day. At least I don't. I mean, maybe you're a better Christian than me, but it just doesn't really come naturally to me. And this practice of reserving certain postures for certain times in our lives is something that we do in other areas as well, especially in our lives with God. We pretty much reserve worship as a Sunday morning only activity. And prayer, it's either when we wake up, before meals, or when we go to bed. And again, maybe y'all are better Christians than I am, but whenever I find myself becoming complacent in my faith, this is usually what my life looks like. And while I do think it is important to cultivate different spiritual practices and routines like praying at certain times of the day, I don't think we should allow these routines to put our spiritual lives in a box. In fact, the Bible makes it clear that these postures of worship and prayer and thankfulness are always available to us. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So we see here that we're not just called to rejoice on Sunday morning, we're called to rejoice always. We're not just praying before we chow down or lie down. We're called to pray without ceasing. And thankfulness is not just reserved for the round table before we eat. We're called to give thanks in all circumstances. But wait, there's more. Not only are these postures available to us at all times, but God actually wills us to partake in them continually. Let's look at the verse again. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So today, I invite you to make a commitment. Don't just give thanks because everything is going right. And don't give thanks just because it's the Christian thing to do. Give thanks because God said so, and He deserves it. Because after all, even if you have nothing in this world, if you have God, then you have eternity to be thankful for.
He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. Instead of raging against the Lord for the way He manages our lives, let us carefully consider all the benefits He bestows. Take a piece of paper, sit down alone in a quiet spot, write down one by one all the good things, the delights and pleasures He has made possible for you. List everything: the sound of music, the laughter of a child, the sunrise, the scent of a rose, the clasp of a friend's hand, the loyalty of a dog. If one is honest, there is no end to this list. This was taken from "A Gardener Looks at the Fruits of the Spirit" by Philip Keller.
Hello from the manse, and once again, I hope you're enjoying and benefiting from listening to these podcasts. Just been thinking the past few days with the birds singing early in the morning before the light really comes along with the sun rising, and just how happy these little creatures are. And it's been such a lesson, such a joy. In fact, I was going into a meeting the other morning in Stornoway, and walking up the driveway into the church there on Kenneth Street, and the birds were singing so loud, so happily. There was such a chorus and such an orchestra that it's very hard to find anywhere else. And it made me think just how they instruct us about how thankful we should be and how much reason we have to sing to and to praise God. We know that life in many ways can be very difficult for us, and life can have phases just like the seasons and just like the birds themselves. It's when the spring comes that they come out and they start singing again and things are changing. There's a new season, a new chapter in life, and their songs and their sounds are indications to us that another season in life is coming. And wherever we are just now, whatever our situation might be, the next time you hear these birds and next time you hear them singing, may it be a reminder that whatever your situation at the moment and whatever things are in your life, that seasons and times will always change. But the real thing we need to ask ourselves, for that to be true in the most meaningful sense, is whether we have a living relationship with God himself through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power of his Holy Spirit. Because it's only really when we are in that position that we can look with confidence and assurance that the seasons in our lives, with all that they bring, will actually turn for the better, that the hard seasons will be blessed to us, that make us better people, that make us more like God himself through his changing of us by his grace through these circumstances. But also, even if our situation weren't to change, and some of you may have situations that are, well, humanly irreversible and lifelong, but nevertheless, we have the hope, we have the certainty that one day, when we leave this world, when the Lord calls us home, that the season that we're passing through, no matter how long it will last, will change. And remember what Paul said, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, his second letter, he speaks about our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So the season will change, and listening to the birds, let that be a reminder to you and a reminder to me that they have reason to bring joy and gladness through the coming of the spring, and you and I have reason to have joy and gladness knowing that the seasons of our lives, if we are Christians, will turn from how hard and how dark they might be to being like we've never imagined, never predicted, because God is working all things together for good to those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. So thanks again for listening to this podcast, and do remember to come along to our services, 11 and 6 o'clock on Sundays. Midweek we meet as well at 7:30 on Wednesday evenings. We have a creche available, you'll probably know this, but just to remind you, Sunday mornings running in parallel with our morning service and manned by people from the congregation. So it's all in place, all available, so do avail yourselves of that and come along and join us in our time of worship at God's house, and God willing, we'll see you there. Thanks.
And a big thank you there to the Reverend Colm Ian MacLeod for providing that audio, and indeed everybody else who helped make up this podcast. Now, coming towards the last section of the show, I have no births to report for you, but sadly there are a few deaths since the last podcast, and indeed two of them have been ministers. The Reverend Ian D. Campbell formerly of Point Free Church, passed away on the 28th of January and was buried on Friday the 3rd of February. Please remember his wife Anne, their children Ian, Stephen and Emily, and his mother Lily, together with the entire wider family. And a second minister, the Reverend Alistair Smith, passed away on the 14th of February 2017. So our prayers and heartfelt sorrow go out to his widow, Chrissy, his children, Margaret, Donnie and Ali, and indeed his wider family, and his sister, Shona. The other death that I have, well, obviously there have been more deaths, but these are the ones I have noted. Anne Morrison died on the 13th of February, and a service held at Graver Free Church on the 15th of February. She was an auntie by marriage of the Reverend Callum McMillan from Flesherin Point, who's currently the minister at Roskeen Free Church. He was taking that service, and we remember her thoughts and prayers go out to Donnie, her widower. Right then, so no more deaths, thankfully, that I know of, and to speak of. There probably have been a lot more, but I don't believe there's been any in the Cross of Us congregation, or should I say the Locks congregation. But now there are, on a more positive note, there are quite a few events coming up. So there is a supper evening. The Free Church Mission Support Group are holding their annual supper evening on Friday the 10th of March at 7 p.m. in the MA Memorial Hall. The speaker will be Elizabeth McGowan, and she'll be speaking on A Visit to Cambodia. Booking is essential, and you can do so by contacting 07733077972, or you could contact 01851702618. If you would rather email, the email address is McLean, that's MACLEAN 145@btinternet.com. Donations will go to Muriel MacLeod, Cambodia, and the Ray family, Philippines. The 2017 Lewis Christian Conference will take place on the 23rd of June through to the 26th of June. The speaker will be Dr. Joel Beek, and the venue will be Stornoway Free Church, Kenneth Street. We also have got the Free Church Youth Camps 2017. They're just around the corner. These will be happening obviously in the summertime, but they do recommend that if you're interested in these, to please register early. Register now, because these always fill up. So hopefully on that subject, in the next couple of podcasts, we're actually going to get some former participants and also some leaders and former leaders to speak on it, because I can't really comment too much. I've never been to a Free Church youth camp, so I cannot give my expertise, but hopefully we'll get people who can share their expertise over the next couple of shows. Now, as far as the upcoming communions in this area, from Thursday the 16th through to Monday the 20th, the communions will be in Kinloch. Please note that on the Sunday, that the Locks Free Church will be closed, so we tend to go over and support our brothers and sisters in Kinloch. So that is Sunday the 19th, there will be no services at Locks. However, on Monday the 20th, Campaigners is still on. Right, we please note that. So although the church is closed on the 19th, on the 20th, Campaigners is still on. Our own communion season in the Locks Free Church starts on Thursday the 23rd, and it runs through to Monday the 27th. For more details, please visit the church website. The Campaigners that night, although it's on, it won't take the form of a normal Campaigners. On the Monday night, we'll meet up at the church, and we're going to go in where it'll be take part. We'll attend there, and it will be part of a family worship service. So we encourage you to come along to all these things. And indeed, normally we have the campaigners on a Monday night in the Lurbus Community Centre. That runs from 6:30 till 7:45. The Sunday school meets straight after the morning service. That is about 12:30 and runs till 1:30. So we do encourage you to come along to these, as in fact you heard on my talk with Fiona earlier. Right, so I think that is it for this month. Oh, please do contact me if there's anything, for whether it's information you wish to give me, whether it's a request you would like, or maybe even you're thinking something you'd like to hear on the podcast. If you've got a favourite psalm, favourite Christian tune, whether it's traditional or more modern, and please give me a, please contact me. You can either speak to me in the church directly, but that's not much good if you're not if you're listening to this from the other side of the world. If you want to contact me via email, my email address is kmcphail, that's all one word, kmcphail@yahoo.com. So I do look forward to hearing from you, even if it's just feedback. Please let me know though if you're happy to have your name or what you say read out on air. Okay, because I don't want to read out anybody's details. Well, I'm not sure I can read your details, but I don't want to read out anything that somebody doesn't want read out on the podcast. So please do include whether you're happy with that or not. Right, so I'm going to leave you with two. This is our modern tracks. The first one is Jessa Anderson and It's Everything. And the second one is by the band Unspoken and the track is Start a Fire. Thank you very much for listening. It has been an absolute pleasure to do this. We hope that you will join us again soon for the next show. Every blessing.
This is love, not that I could love, but that I'm loved by one who loves at any cost. Even to death you've got and stand victorious. And when I think about all you've done, Jesus, I am overcome. You know it hits me like a tidal wave. I buckle down beneath the weight of all you are, no less than everything. I am helpless but to speak your name, the sweetest sound I'll ever make. With all my heart I'm giving everything. This is grace, nothing that I could make, but that you took my place to conquer sin. Shame and
something better. But am I really gonna hide forever? Over and over again, I hear your voice in my head. Let your light shine, let your light shine for all to see. And start a fire in my soul, fan the flame and make it grow. So there's no flame and make it grow. So there.